Blog Talk Radio.
What is going on, everyone? Happy Friday to you. Happy Friday, come one, come all. It is the Cave Show. This is PLR. Let's talk a little baseball today, but this show is based around and guided around NBA playoffs, which start tomorrow, 7:30 my time, so I get to wake up to basketball. Like I said, there's a lot going on. We're going to break down every series, give you the winner of this special round. Thank you for joining us. This is PLR. This is the Cave Show. We're brought to you, of course, by the one, the only, the girl, Five Cigar and Snack. And let's put it on almost four in Tampa Heights. Get in there. Let them know that PLR sent you. They will take 10% off of any cigar purchases you may have. They're now serving beer and wine, so you can also relax. They're showing these playoff games. Make sure you are in there. Again, that's Maduro Fine Cigar and Tobacco, now serving beer and wine. Located 4991 South Alma School. That's Alma School and Channel Heights. Again, I'm Mill PLR. Sent you 10% off of your cigar purchase. All the pictures, please check when you get there. Thank you for joining the Cave Show. Like I said, this is PLR. Hopefully everyone is having a beautiful Friday. It is the weekend already. Excuse me. Like I said, I do want to start this show off, talking a little bit of baseball. Just because I'm trying to figure out exactly what's happening this year. A lot of injuries going on. Yankees hit with injuries. Dodgers hit with injuries. Some of your bigger teams are hit with injuries. But when you start looking at the standings and you start thinking what is going on in this bizarro universe where the Tampa Bay Rays are 10-3 and top of the American League East, and you got the Yankees playing below 500 ball at 5-7, the Red Sox playing below 500 ball at 4-9, Yankees can't seem to beat the Baltimore Orioles, who are not a very good team. You got other teams off to hot starts like Seattle. And you really don't worry about Houston because you know what? It's a long season, and they're not playing themselves. They're not playing that poorly right now. In fact, they're hot. They won 6 in a row, 7 out of the last 10. So after kind of a slowish, sluggish start, they've kind of regrouped and back in a respectable spot. But then you look at the Cubs, who are 4-8. The Dodgers, who just got swept in St. Louis, 8-6. The Padres leading that division. The Mets, who a lot of people are telling you do not sleep on, they're leading their division right now in the National League East. So baseball this year, there is not that runaway team that we've had for a while. You know, the Dodgers have proven to be, over the last couple of years, even though they did not win the World Series, they've proven that they're the top of the top of the National League by going to back-to-back World Series. The Cubs have proven, after getting to the playoffs and then winning the World Series and getting back to the playoffs and getting back to the playoffs again, even they're down a little bit right now. The Red Sox, 4-9, I'm calling this the champagne tour right now. I saw the Cubs go through this. But there are some other issues in Boston that they need to worry about. Like J.D. Martinez is up this summer. So they may have some other distractions out there that may not be noticeable to just a fan saying, oh, what's up with the Red Sox? The only team right now I think that are playing where they're expected to play are the Cleveland Indians. They just always find a way to win the American League Central. Like I said, I wanted to get into that first just because some of those powerhouses that we are so used to seeing, they're just not getting off to good starts. Locally, the Diamondbacks, maybe it's just me. I'm not liking the stuff I'm seeing from Archie Bradley right now. Diamondbacks fell down last night 6-1, battled their way back. Only to watch Archie Bradley serve up the game-winning home run. Like I said, I'm not down on him. I'm just not. I remember Archie Bradley was supposed to be a starter, star for this team. Moved to the bullpen, done a good job. Done a good job. But sometimes I just worry about Archie. I really do. I really do. But on any given night, any given pitch, any given anything can happen. And you're definitely not going to lose confidence in him by any stretch of the imagination. But let's see what happens tonight with these Diamondbacks. Let's see what's going on. Like I said, I do want to talk heavy basketball. I definitely want to pick these series out. Tell you who I think is going to win. I do want to touch on the Lakers, though, before we get into that. I do know that we talked about Magic Johnson and what happened with him and how he stepped aside and how it kind of caught everyone off guard. Does this mean Luke keeps his job? Exactly what does this mean for Luke, for Pelinka, for everyone going forward? I'm getting news here. I'm getting breaking news that Luke Walton and the Lakers have decided to part ways. That's what I'm hearing as of right this second. Now, if that's the case, what's next for the Lakers? What does this mean going forward? What does this mean for the coaching vacancy that's now obviously is going to be in L.A.? A couple months ago, I said Mark Jackson would get this job. And part of that was because who his agent is. Partly because of his connection and his ability to coach, and the fact that it's his time to get back into coaching. But in terms of Luke Walton, the Lakers have tweeted out, and I'm going to read this directly, the Los Angeles Lakers and Luke Walton have mutually agreed to part ways. We would like to thank Luke for his dedicated service over the last 3 years, said general manager Rob Pelinka. We wish Luke and his family the best of luck moving forward. What does this mean? Mm-hmm. It means there is no limbo. Now, Luke expected to be fired on Monday. But when everything happened with Magic, it looks like all that did was delay the inevitable. Does that open a door for Ty Lue? Will the Lakers at this point just completely say, we're going to acquiesce to everything LeBron needs and we're going to make the LA Lakers the Cleveland Cavaliers West? And of course, the tweets have started, the jokes have started. Alex Sherman, general manager LeBron James, fired Luke Walton, replaced him with new head coach LeBron James. So, of course, the jokes and the memes will start. But I'm curious to see what direction they go. What does this mean for Rob Pelinka? Is he going to pick his own guy? Is he going to ascend in power and bring in a GM? Or do the Lakers go that same direction that Cleveland went? Do they think that maybe if they bring in some of the Cleveland guys and some of the Cleveland faces, that helps lure that A-plus free agent like a Kyrie Irving? Is that what that means? I don't know. We'll find out. If anything else breaks during this telecast, I definitely will share with you. But I definitely want to break down these NBA playoffs and how I think it's all going to unfold. So let's start in the East. And I'm not into all the seeding stuff, so I just want to break it down game by game. On Saturday, round one, with Brooklyn at Philadelphia. Brooklyn has had an incredible year. Incredible year. And I do apologize. Call the number is 917-889-7828. 917-889-7828. That is the Kerry Lackey Law Line, in case you want to chime in and tell me what your thoughts are on the playoffs. Philadelphia, Brooklyn, Philadelphia, probably one of the best starting fives when Embiid is out there. Jimmy Butler, Tobias Harris, J.J. Redick, Ben Simmons, Joel Embiid. But then they got to go to the bench inevitably. And against Brooklyn, it won't be that big of a deal. Brooklyn has overachieved, done a great job. D'Angelo Russell, who even I had doubts about, basically shut me up. I have no problem with saying that. He's played well. Brooklyn's playing well. They're a star or two away from being really, really, really good. No matter what happens in this round, the season is a success. But I think Philadelphia gets them. I think Philadelphia actually sweeps them. No. I take that back. If Embiid is out for one, two, or three games, I think Brooklyn gets one. If Embiid is only out one, then I think maybe it's a sweep. Toronto and Orlando. Kawhi won't be taking rest days. There'll be no load management days off for him. The question is, does Kyle Lowry show up in the playoffs? But they won't need Kyle Lowry to beat Orlando. Again, Orlando's an upstart team. Coach Clifford is an incredible coach. What he's done in Orlando is amazing. This is a team that does not turn the ball over. They play good defense. They're very disciplined. They just don't have the horses to play Toronto. And I think Toronto sweeps them. Boston and Indiana, I think, would have been a good series if Victor Oladipo was there. I don't think it would have changed the outcome. Marcus Smart is out for Boston. Does that mean that they're going to struggle? No, not against Indiana. I do see this as a 4-1 Boston win. Milwaukee-Detroit. I don't think Detroit has a chance, being honest with you. I think this is one of those series where Milwaukee understands they have to get rid of them and get done early, get the rest that they need, make sure everyone is healthy, make sure Freak is feeling well. Detroit is already banged up. Their best player, Blake Griffin, sore knees. Who knows if he's going to play? And if he plays, how long will he play? How healthy will he be? How effective will he be? That's a lot of questions. Andre Drummond, honestly, is not enough. And Reggie Jackson, hell. Reggie Jackson one night looks like he should be an all-star. The next night, Reggie Jackson looks like he should be an all-star in the G League. So you don't know what you're going to get from him. I honestly think he is the best player in the NBA that's the most inconsistent player in the NBA. because you just never know what you're going to get from Reggie Jackson night to night. That's just plain and simple. So give me Milwaukee in the sweep there. In the West, Houston, Utah, I think will be the best series in the West. And I think Houston will end up winning. I just think they have enough guns to fire. But the one thing about Utah, Utah can stop you. It can really limit and affect your ability to score, especially in the paint. With Gobert, I think it's hard to get in there and to score close to the rim. And we know that with Houston, twos aren't exactly their best friend. So they like to either shoot twos as a layup or they like to shoot the three. A perfect world for them is shooting 53-pointers a game. But they also have to get some layups, and that's going to be real tough against the Stifle Tower and Rudy Gobert. But when you flip it back over, even though Houston's defense can be porous, I just don't think Utah has enough offense to shoot at them. I see this as a 4-2 series with Houston winning tight but controlled. And I think it's imperative for Houston to get out of this series quickly, because the more games you play, the more games you have for James Harden to get tired, the more games you have for Chris Paul to get hurt. And if they end up getting to the second round, more than likely, Golden State will be there waiting for them. You don't want to stretch this on. You want to get in, do your damage, get out. And what I think, if that's the best series, I think the most entertaining series will be Portland and Oklahoma City. Dame Lillard, CJ McCollum, offensive-minded Enes Kanter. We do know that backcourt from Portland is going to lose their minds offensively. They're going to try to score, 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 score. Oklahoma City, on the other hand, Russ, Paul George's shoulder, Steven Adams in the middle. What will the Morris do? What will Grant do? What will the ancillary parts do? Are the ancillary parts of Oklahoma City better than the ancillary parts of Portland? I think they are. And I think this is a series that goes 7. At least 6. Let me say that. 6 or 7. And I think Oklahoma comes out on top, which then says to Portland, what do you do now? Because you got killed in the first round last year by New Orleans. And you're looking at another first-round exit this year, you start saying, where is the shakeup coming from? And what is it they're going to do? And is it a let's get some different pieces in here and start over without starting over? If they lose this series, does that put Dame on the trading block? Would he be the person headed to L.A. to play with LeBron? Denver, San Antonio. Okay, I think this is the most disrespectful series that will be played because there are a ton of people picking San Antonio to upset Denver simply because of the pop factor. I know what LaMarcus Aldridge can do. We obviously know what DeMar DeRozan can do. Denver's inexperienced. Paul Millsap probably has the most playoff experience of anyone on a team. But this is where I think talent just wins out. And Denver is just flat out a better team than San Antonio. Coach Malone can coach as well. They're making it seem like he's just a bum coaching. And I start looking at matchups and matchups and matchups and putting them together, and I just don't see how San Antonio can match up to this team. Gary Harris seems to be back in form. Like I said, Paul Millsap, I don't care how good LaMarcus Aldridge is. They don't have an answer for the Joker, for Nikola Jokic. But I think a lot of this series will come down to Jamal Murray. How does he play? Does he play in control? Is he looking to get everyone involved? Is he looking just for Jamal Murray? A lot of that will determine what happens in this series. But even with that being said, I don't see Denver losing to San Antonio. in this series, I see a 4-1 victory. If you really push it, maybe 4-2. Maybe San Antonio gets that, you know, dance on our court, whatever. I don't buy that crap. Not in this series. So give me Denver. Golden State against the Clippers. The Clippers nobody even thought would be there. Golden State has one, two things on their mind at the most. Get in, get out, be healthy. That's really it. Get these four games and get out and sit everybody down. I don't even want to mess around. It's not about giving the Clippers confidence because the Clippers can't beat them. It has nothing to do with confidence. It has everything to do with that you don't want to stretch out because you know Houston's going to be sitting there waiting for you. And you need to be as healthy as possible when it's time to play there. And that's simply what it comes down to. We'll have more information on Monday about what's happening with the draft watch party. So we'll get more information to you on that. And I jumped before I should have. So let's recap. Excuse me. Philly over Brooklyn. Toronto over Orlando. Golden State over LA. Denver over San Antonio. Boston over Indiana. OKC, which technically will be the only upset because that's the one lower seed I have winning, over Portland, Milwaukee over Detroit, Houston over Utah. See how it goes from here. Next week, we'll talk to some great basketball minds as well, kind of break down where we are after the first weekend of playoff basketball. One other quick note before we got out of here that has to do with hoops. James Jones, it's official. Finally, and good for James Jones. Listen, James Jones is an up-and-coming stud front office guy in this NBA, in this league. And I think the Suns did a very smart thing in retaining him. So James Jones is here for the foreseeable future with the Phoenix Suns. And there's a reason why I'm not really getting into what they're doing right now. One, why? But we're talking playoffs, not Phoenix Suns moves right now. But James Jones, like I said, is the general manager. Phoenix also added Jeff Bauer as senior VP of basketball operations. And they also will keep Trevor Bergstein as assistant general manager. That's Friday, y'all. We're going to get out of here, let you enjoy the rest of your Friday. Let you enjoy these games this weekend. Until Monday, everyone, please enjoy your weekend. The NBA weekend. Have fun. Have a good time. This is The Cave Show. Make sure you follow us on social media at The Sports Cave. Cave is always with the Cave. On Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, fan page. TheSportsCave.com. Make sure you're checking us out there. Again, Cave Logs with a K. Or you can get me directly on the Twitter, TLR on Sports. Until the next time, TLR, this is the Cave Show. Everyone, have a great week.